God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, the critical of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So you show yourself approved unto God, a workman does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Open seeking to the, as we continue in the doctrine of the old sin nature, the STA, pick up page 10 of our notes. As believers in Jesus Christ, you're either under the rulership of the sin nature, or you're under the rulership of God the Holy Spirit. How you get out of fellowship and operate under the sin nature is through personal sin of life. How you're able to escape from that spiritual state of carnality and place yourself back into the filling of God the Holy Spirit is through the rebound technique in a prayer profession between the individual believer and God, in which your sin nature then is isolated, put in its case, so to speak. The Holy Spirit is in control over the real you, the soul, and you are otherwise predisposed, once again this evening, to this state of spirituality to assimilate the truth of Bible doctrine clearly, undistorted, with respect to any distortion the SCA may otherwise try to infer upon it. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with our usual customary word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your plan of victory of those who are positive and truly seek you, of having a relationship with you for all eternity, and to be able to glorify you as well as bring eternal weight of glory upon ourselves in this respect. We ask once again this evening that God the Holy Spirit will again lighten us to the truth and the matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, the spiritual dilemma of man and their fallen estate, and hence in need of salvation, is due to the resident STA, the sinful trend of Adam, the old sin nature, the old man, the natural man, the other synonyms that is referred to, that resides in every cell of the human body. Because all are born of flesh, as the STA is passed on, the flesh, through procreation. All men are obviously born spiritually dead, and they are under the control or rulership of the sin nature in a very absolute state. How that control has been mitigated and the SCA has been dethroned with respect to having control over mankind is through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, when he went and he gave his own body for the imputation of judgment of the sins as sponsored by the sin nature of men, and obviously in return gave God the plus R necessary to overrule the sin nature in time. It's ironic that it was one sin that brought man under the condition and this state of judgment, and it is one sin that brings the eternal judgment upon man otherwise in this regard, and that is the sin of unbelief. Jesus Christ died for all sins. The problem of the STA has been dealt with. It has been taken care of. There's only one sin that remains that man can continue to perpetuate in their life, a sin of disobedience to God that will keep them from going to heaven, and that is the sin of unbelief in respect to our Savior, who obviously claimed victory for us over the STA, otherwise, and spiritual death otherwise, in this regards. So how the individual is able to utilize the benefits of Christ's work on the cross in setting apart the STA in this fashion obviously begins with phase one faith, where one believes in Jesus Christ, and that positionally, therefore, their sins are no longer an issue in regards to their eternal position in God's plan. And in this respect, Jesus Christ again died for all those sins. All sins have been judged in his body. And our flesh, our sin nature, if you will, is pictured as being crucified with him on the cross. However, even though positionally the STA has been eradicated in regards to our eternal estate, experientially, we obviously still live in the flesh, and it still manifests itself, and it will, as long as we are alive. So at phase one faith, then, the believer, in regards to having the victory over eternal death by being given eternal life through the human spirit and indwelling and filling of God, the Holy Spirit, through the process of regeneration, begins for that individual believer a new inward battle, an inward conflict. And the believer then has two potential rulers over the real you, over the soul, in regards to experientially seeking to fulfill God's plan for their life and still dealing with the sin nature. The Bible makes it very clear that even though, obviously, our eternal state is guaranteed for us through the faith in Christ, that simple act of faith in Christ, the STA still remains an issue with respect to experientially fulfilling God's plan. And therefore, under phase two sanctification, the means and way that the individual is able to deal with the sin nature is through utilization of the rebound technique when one engages in sin to acknowledge that sin to God in the prayer of confession and therefore put it in his cage so that the individual is not being led by the sin nature. The individual is being led by God, the Holy Spirit. And they redeem the time, they make the most of their time, and all things they do in this state of spirituality then is a candidate in regards to the over and beyond eternal rewards that God has for those believers who will deal with their sin nature in this regards. And just pick up point 8, page 10 of our notes, under the old sin nature, which is dealing with phase 2 sanctification. Under the old sin nature, the STA, the believer is considered to be a spiritual POW, prisoner of war, in the angelic conflict. Romans 7:23. Paul, relating to his own STA, but I see a different law in the members of my body. Obviously, looking at the salvation and influence of the flesh, the STA, in contrast and opposition to God the Holy Spirit that also indwells him. And he sees a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind. That mind, obviously, is his doctrinal thinking in regards to what is right and what is acceptable before God, being in fellowship and recognizing that sin is wrong and making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. So, being under the sin nature, the believer is likened to be a POW, captured by the enemy. And in that respect, obviously, through grace, we're able to immediately escape this particular condition. So, life in the POW camp is here characterized by personal sin, which includes human good, false doctrine, and human viewpoint along with it. The SCA is the author of all these things. Obviously, Satan is the ultimate author behind it. B, the believer who remains a POW is guilty of giving aid and comfort to the enemy. When one is running out of fellowship, they have made themselves ineffective in regards to doing battle for the side of righteousness. And when one is a POW, they've been neutralized. And in their neutral state, obviously, it assists the enemy. It does not help, obviously, the ally of which they are for or who they are operating on behalf of. So here, rebound is the only means of escape. B, the positive believer hates being in the enemy camp. It is not a condition that one wants to find themselves in truly for any length of period, generally speaking, under normal circumstances. And that's the adjusted individual. Romans 7:15. Paul obviously relates very clearly the pressure on his soul and how this inward enemy that is a part of all of us brings upon him consternation and an unsettling in life that he does not truly, that's not what he wants to do in that regard. And he states that here in verse 15, for that which I am doing, I do not understand. Weakness of will, why we capitulate in regards to the STA and don't have the strength of will, truly, often it is beyond our understanding. Sometimes we're cognizant in regard to, I did that just because I want to. But when one is trying to stay in fellowship and they find themselves getting out of fellowship, even though they're their fullest attempt, it really is kind of beyond us in that regard. And the understanding is, for I'm not practicing what I would like to do, but I'm doing the very thing I hate. And that obviously refers to his attitude in regards to letting the sin nature rule in his life. Verse 16, but if I do the very thing I do not wish to do, I agree with the law. The law states that we're imperfect and that we will be disobedient. The law, the Mosaic law, obviously points to the fact, which is perfect, and points to absolute righteousness in that regard, that all men are imperfect, because no man can keep the law, with the exception, as we know, Jesus Christ, confessing that it is good. So, obviously, when one does sin, it's in agreement with Bible doctrine that man will do this. See? And that the law serves its very purpose and points out what it's meant to point out, that men are imperfect. And then verse 19, for the very good that I wish I do not do, that I practice, very evil that I do not wish. A reflection of his positive volition. In verse 20, but if I am doing the very thing I do not wish, I am no longer one doing, but the sin which dwells in me, recognizing the influence of the STA in the individual's life, in spite of how positive it might be otherwise, seeking to apply doctrine, how it causes us all to stumble, as James says, in many ways. So, one sin puts us in the enemy camp. One little mental attitude sins. That's all it takes to get you out of fellowship. One sin. One area of disobedience in regards to the role imperatives. So, due to negative volition, most believers, even though they will spend eternity with God under phase one sanctification, they spend their phase two as prisoners of the SGA, and as a result, lose the SG3. They lose the exalting they would otherwise receive as being heroes in this conflict of which they are a part of in this regard. So, 9. The believer under the old sin nature also reaps divine discipline. God disciplines his children, just like the normal parent disciplines their children for assisting the individual when the SCA does get a hold of us at times and we do not have the will to deal with it, the wherewithal to bring in pain in our life to help us get the SCA under control. Essentially only one thing the FCA really understands, and that is pain. To put a halt in regards to his salivations, his propensities. Hebrews 12:6-10, with respect to divine discipline, again here the context, and the Jews here, the early Christian Jews, trying to fight the battle, and under all this suffering they were faced with, they basically, many of them got their eyes off their own failures in life and passing everything off as undeserved suffering when, in fact, much of it was deserved suffering because they were not controlling their sin natures and overruling it. And lot of times the things that came down their pipe, as people will do, they disregard it as being God trying to give them a spiritual wake-up call and say, hey, you know, you need to evaluate and critique yourself at this point in time. You're running your sin nature. And to therefore wake up and make the adjustment. And that's what the divine discipline is designed for in regards to believers. When things do occur in our life, obviously the adjusted believer, when something, if you say, as we might say, bad happens, the adjusted believer, first of all, is going to sit there and critique and say, all right, where am I out of line somewhere? To determine what kind of test is in front of them. Is it a test of discipline from God, or is it simply undeserved suffering, a test in disregards? Either way, it's designed to advance us spiritually. And the author, as we have read, makes it very clear that when it comes to battling the SCA, believers, basically man, do not have the will to truly battle it to the nth degree, if you will. And that is the reference to resisting to the point of shedding blood when you're striving against sin, verse 4. As Jesus Christ, obviously, was under such pressure to avoid making any errors at the very end of his ministry of going on to the cross at the appropriate time, so experienced this type of pressure in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he brings out the fact that they need to reorient and start reevaluating their lives regards to the fact that Jesus or that God may be disciplining them in many cases that they're calling undeserved suffering. Verse 6, for those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines as part of God's love for us. Just like your love for a child, a parent's love for their child. They do something wrong, you know this, they keep this activity up, it's going to be harmful to them, if not immediately, ultimately. And therefore, they bring discipline upon them. And usually that discipline comes in the form of some type of pain, whether it's a spanking, whether it's removal of privileges or whatever. And God, obviously, is not limited in regards to how he may discipline us. Discipline can come financially, physically, health, all different ways. And he scourges every son whom he receives. So part of living the Christian life and orientated to the Christian life is figuring out things that are going on in your life is just because, simply because I'm being tested, God's pleased with what I'm doing, and it's just designed to refine me in this respect. Or is God trying to get me to stop and reevaluate things? And recognize the fact that I am under my STA in a certain area of my life. You know, some things are obvious. Some things may not be quite so obvious. So 6, and then verse 10. For they, our earthly parents, discipline us for a short time that seemed best to them. But he, God, disciplines us for our good. That good emphasizes for the purpose of getting us back in fellowship and maintaining that standard for divine good production, which directly affects, obviously, our eternal well-being and position in phase 3, that we may share his holiness. See believers all the time, they just, you know, count things off. That's just, you know, another test in life. And they don't even consider the fact that maybe they're out of line somewhere. You know, to other people around them, it's obvious. 10, which ruler in life then the believer chooses also impacts his or her understanding and distortion of the Bible doctrine. Again, 1 Corinthians 2. 2:14. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. Natural man's being out of fellowship, letting your sin nature run its course and rule your life. And when you're under your sin nature, you're rejecting doctrine. See. And the sin nature does not have the ability to correctly interpret and appreciate and discern Bible doctrine, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. Hence the necessity of the gap system, the grace apparatus perception of the filling of God, the Holy Spirit, and our human spirit. So 11, when the believer in time succumbs to the temptations of the STA, they are considered, quote, dead, end quote, to God, until they resuscitate themselves through rebound. We dealt with this principle in James 1, 14 and 15, that each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. See, the lust comes from within. And that can only be possible if there is a nature that is a part of us to provide this lust. See, for those who want to take issue that men are diseased spiritually in this way. And obviously, it begins in the form of temptation. It intrigues you, if you will, to meet its needs. And temptation in and of itself is not the sin. It's when the soul, the real you, says, okay, that's what I'm going to do, then it becomes a sin. Then when lust has conceived, it looks at this unnatural birth, if you will. It bears sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. That death is temporal death. So here the STA is personified as a lascivious female on the prowl for a man to produce a bastard child. The soul, the real you, is the weak-minded male. The insatiable seductress comes on strong, attempting to sexually arouse the male. This is what's pictured. The two participles, carried away and enticed, represent the intense pressure the flesh puts on the soul, causing the salivation of trend and the promise of gratification. The STA is completely self-serving. Meet my need, and I'll make you feel good. See, in whatever way it may bring it forth. So conception here implies a sex act, that is, the soul giving the STA the green light. The bastard progeny is the sin, be it mental attitude, verbal, or overt. The result of fornicating with the STA is temporal death. And then, again, Romans 7, 8 through 11, where Paul explains the same situation. In other words, the sin take an opportunity through the commandment, produce in me coveting the very kind, for apart from the law, sin is dead. And I was once alive apart from the law. When the commandment came, sin became alive and I died. And this commandment, which was to result in life, proved to result in death for me. For sin take an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me, the soul, and through it killed me. 12, when the believer is ruled by the STA, he has no value in the plan of God as seen in the terms used to describe this state of being out of fellowship, as we would say. The concept of being dead, that emphasizes the total inability of one to do anything and the state of utter helplessness. Romans 6:21-23. Therefore, what benefit were you then, driving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. Now, having been free from sin and a slave to God, you derive your benefit with all the sanctification and the outcome eternal life. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. 7:9-13. We won't read all those again. 8:13. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. Again, temporal death. But if by the Spirit you are put into death the deeds of the body, you will live. B. Sleep is defined as being spiritually asleep. This emphasizes a state of insensibility caused by lethargy and spiritual slackness, lack of attention, lack of focus, allowing the STA to call the shots. Ephesians 5, 11 through 14. And do not participate in the unfruitful deeds or works of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. Those who capitulate to the SCA, the unbelieving counterparts, and the obviously insidious activities they may engage in, such as the STA vices that Peter brought out. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. Bible doctrine lets you see the things they really, the way they really are. Whether it's something sin or whether something's righteousness. For everything that becomes visible is light. It's like taking captive every thought for Christ. And whether one sees sin activity or the human viewpoint or whatever that's in front of them, and they capture it and they say this is a sin, that becomes light. Because it's recognized as being true with respect to that. And then he appeals to Isaiah here, 14, for this reason it says, awake, sleeper. That's the believer who is spiritually asleep. And arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. First Thessalonians 5, 4 and 8. In regards to the last days, which is the setting here, to be taken in by false doctrine, you don't have to. Stay on top of Bible doctrine, prophetically and otherwise, and the world will not catch you off guard. And we are not to emulate our negative counterparts in this respect, who are spiritually blind in regards to the reality of history, etc. And that's verse 4, but you brothers are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you like a thief. The day here is the day of the Lord in regards to the upcoming judgment of God during the tribulational period, which ushers in the millennial period, which obviously what we do in time, our participation in time in regards to God will determine what our niche will be in regards to serving with Christ. Verse 5, for you are all sons of light, the sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. Recognizing who our true spiritual parent is now. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober, a spiritual sobriety. Not to be spiritually dull in our thinking, disregarding doctrine. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night. Those who get drunk at night. Recognizing that usually the opportune time for SCA activity to occur is at night time. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. So, being out of fellowship is regarded as being spiritually asleep. So see, again, the POW, as we find in above in the point 7BA, which shows that the believer is neutralizing the conflict until escape occurs. The slaves. This indicates the abject state of servitude to a cruel, abusive master. The believer, you're either enslaved to your sin nature or you're enslaved to God. It's one or the other. There's no in between. 6:16, do you not know, Romans, that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey. You obey either the sin nature and its trends, its lusts, or God, the Holy Spirit, either in sin resulting in death or in obedience resulting in righteousness. And 23, again, the wages of sin is death, the free gift of God is eternal life. E, personified as being drunk, illustrating the disorientation and inappropriate activity caused by intoxication of the SCA. Ephesians 5:18. In the contrast of the sin of drunkenness, which emulates, personifies one's spiritual state, in contrast of being filled with God the Holy Spirit, do not get drunk with wine, for that is wasteful, but be filled with the Spirit. Jeremiah 51, Old Testament. Verse 39. This is prophetic in regards to Babylon, the state of existence, spiritually at Babylon, and God placing judgment upon them. In 1 hour, one day. When they become heated up, I shall serve them their banquet. Part of the key to interpreting Revelation, prophetic Babylon, comes out of Jeremiah chapters 50 and 51 primarily, as well as certain chapters in Isaiah and in Daniel. Put all those things together. And when prophetic Babylon gets to pinnacle, if you will, of their evil, that they're going to go, that's getting heated up. God says, I shall serve them their banquet, the feast. Here, obviously, in contrast to the spiritual orgy that prophetic Babylon is engaged in the last days, as it operates with every unclean bird around, and make them drunk, that they may become jubilant. Part of the judgment upon negative volition is keeping them blind and allowing their disorientation to multiply in regards to realities of God and His plan, and may sleep a perpetual sleep and not wake up, declares the Lord. And then verse 57, and I shall make her princes and her wise men drunk, her governors, her prefects, and her mighty men. That looks at not only the political setting, but the military setting in regards to Babylon in the last days. And obviously we see the craziness that's going on in front of us already. To find a politician that really is an advocate for the Constitution straightforward is few and far between. And to stand up for the morality of the Christian faith and things of this nature, and then our own military basically imposing upon those who serve them the responsibility and obligation to serve the New World Order under the concept of the UN, etc., being attached to the UN, where does this come from? This is not from our Constitution. It's against our Constitution. And all these people, that's the way you want to go? Fine. You'll become so disoriented, they won't know when it hits them. Obviously, if they're an unbeliever, they're remaining here when the time occurs. It only gets worse. And they may sleep a perpetual sleep and not wake up. The eternal sleep compared to their spiritual sleep. Declares the King, His name is the Lord of hosts. Being in a state of darkness. That's indicating the lack of true perception and the inability to order one's walk, steps appropriately, which perception is only provided by the light of the Word of God. John 8:12. Again, therefore, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Who follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but have the light of life. That's life that equates to eternal life. At John 12, 35. Jesus therefore said to them, for a little while longer, the light is among you. That's his person, giving them perfect, absolute Bible doctrine. Walk while you keep on having the light. The darkness may not overtake you. You fall not, won't fall back into the trap of the SCA, adhering to cosmic system of thought and actions. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. People who operate apart from Bible doctrine, you can't expect them truly to fully appreciate what you might appreciate in regards to their maladjustment to God. They don't know. They don't know where they're going. Their interest is not in Bible doctrine. Their interest is only in what their flesh salivates towards in this regard. 13. So these are synonyms, if you will, in regards to being out of fellowship. 13. Walking by the Spirit or filled with the Spirit is the one method of spirituality and victory over the SCA. Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. So that's your antidote. Walking by the Spirit is synonymous being filled with the Spirit. So 14, when the indwelling Holy Spirit rules the soul as your new resident, as a believer. The believer does not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Again, Galatians 5:16, also Romans 8:13, which we read earlier. You're enslaved to one or the other. So 15, synonyms for the state of the filling of the Holy Spirit. The term alive, which indicates our spiritual condition. Again, Romans 6:13. Present yourselves, last part of 13, to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as weapons of righteousness to God. 7:9. I was once alive apart from the law. That looks at Paul's spiritual condition. His SCA wasn't salivating in regards to the aspect of lust until he read, you can't do that. Then your SCA goes, oh, yes, I can. That's what I want to do. That's your SCA. God says, do this or don't do this. And your SCA wants to do just the opposite. So, being alive spiritually, be the filling of the Holy Spirit, that indicates rulership, Ephesians 5:18 that we read, be filled with the Spirit. If God gives us command, then He's got to give us mechanics. God doesn't tell us that we got to be a certain way and not tell us how to do that. In 1 John 1:9 is the mechanics. Walking in the Spirit, or walking in light, or love, all three of these terms, used with this concept, which indicates modus operandi and vivendi, the method of operation and manner of life. Again, Galatians 5:16, 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. That's true fellowship. Walking in the light is application of the doctrine in fellowship. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. His work on the cross also provides the avenue for the believer to experientially deal with their sin nature. Then you have the rebound technique given. The mechanics of how to walk in the light. And then Ephesians 5:2. And walk in love, just as Christ also loved you, gave himself up for us, an offering and sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. To emulate Christ's path of righteousness in his life. Being imitators of God. To emulate God, that indicates representation or ambassadorship of whom we are supposedly to serve. Ephesians 5:1, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. Slaves to righteousness, that again indicates ownership or rulership. Again, Romans 6, 16 and 18, saw those. That's simply the concept of spiritual, which indicates a state of the things being spiritually appraised, the natural man that cannot understand them. In verse 14, then verse 15, 1 Corinthians 2:15. That he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no man. Not ultimately. Even though men judge us. And then G, crucify. That indicates who or what we identify with. That's Christ on the cross. That's Galatians 5:24. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. That denotes isolation of the sin nature. And again, overruling the SCA is work. And it can be very painful at times, denying the flesh. Your flesh just wants to do this, and it really can create havoc in your life. But that's part of living the Christian life and doing battle in the angelic conflict. The pain, obviously, that Jesus Christ went through to eradicate the rulership of the sin nature. I'll tell you and give you some hint in regards to truly the enemy that it is. So see, then finally, as that dealt with phase 2 sanctification, we have the SCA and phase 3 sanctification. Phase 3 being our eternal state. The inner conflict between the SCA and the Holy Spirit ends at physical death or the rapture, whichever may occur first. That's because at death, obviously, your soul is unplugged from your body, the body which the SCA resides in. And if it's the rapture, your body, your fleshly body, is transformed into a new body by God, which is minus the STA. A body created by the hands of God rather than through procreation of men. So that's when it ends, not until then. I'm sorry, I wish I could give you better news. But you got to live with that monster for the rest of your life. As long as you're still alive and your epidermis is still around you and you're breathing. See, your STA continues to be active. Since the SCA is a part of the body of corruption, when the soul is separated from the body, the SCA is left behind. This is one very important reason for understanding that the SCA does not reside in the soul, but in the body. For there will be no SCA in the resurrection body since we inherit a body like his. And his body, obviously, is pure and righteous. That being Christ. Philippians 3:20, 21. For our citizenship is in heaven, for which also we eagerly await for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory. By the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. For 1 John 3:5. we know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. That is definitely the condition of his glorified body. So five mature believers look forward to it. Romans 7:24-25 regards to Paul again as the example. Wretched man that I am, recognizing the destruction of the sin nature, its power, how it is that which makes life miserable. Who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then on the one hand, I myself with my mind serve the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. I've heard believers, new believers, get on doctrine and make comments, their immaturity. I can't wait to get more doctrine so I won't sin as much. Hello. You think so, huh? You start getting more doctrine, you start recognizing really the weakness of the flesh in your life. So mature believers look forward to the day that we can rest from our battle. Six, sins of the STA were judged in Christ that the STA might be done away with. That was the very purpose, obviously, of why Christ went to the cross. Again, Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with. Potentially, that's an ultimate way. That we should no longer be slaves of sin. So the ultimate result is complete eradication of it, not only positionally, but experientially. And then, again, compare 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil, who operates and maintains controls over men through the STA. Seven, the mechanics of the ultimate sanctification and the ratification of the STA first is given to us 1 Corinthians 15:35-38, which deals with the resurrection body. Someone will say, how are the dead raised, and with what kind of body do they come? You fool, that which you sow does not come to life unless it dies. It's like in the natural world of planting a seed, and it dies off so that it can regenerate itself. And each year, a lot of times, it comes back bigger and healthier. That which you sow, you do not sow the body which is to be, but a bare grain, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives a body just as he wished. To each of the seeds, a body of his own. So it's a body made by God. So eight, E3, which is a category of evil called human good, of the believer is judged and thrown out. See, again, if you'll look at this doctrine, these doctrines that we present, put them in their proper perspective. Our sins have been dealt with. We simply have to cite and acknowledge our sins. The only thing left to be judged is regards to what we do in our body, in regards to our works. Whether it comes under human good or divine good. And that's 1 Corinthians 3:13-15. Each man's work will become evident, for the day will show us, because it will be revealed with fire. The fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. This is with respect to the believer. If any man's work which is built upon it remains, that which is built upon gold, silver, precious stones, verse 12, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, that which is built on wood, hay, and straw, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be delivered, yet so as through fire. He's still saved, because they're not guilty of the sin of unbelief. That's the only sin that sends people to hell. So that's just another one, doctrine, how simple really the perspective is. People die and go to hell because simply they won't believe in Christ. Not because they're a fornicator, a liar, a homo, or whatever. It's because they won't believe in Jesus Christ. Or else really Jesus really didn't accomplish everything on the cross. You see, the logic. 9, there will be no STA in the eternal state. All the misery, suffering, and everything that it brings is totally, completely eradicated as we reside in the eternal state, all men being minus an STA. Revelation 21:8. But before the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable murderers, immoral persons, sorcerers, adulterers, and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with the fire and brimstone, which is the second death. They will not have any part in regards to the new creation, which is the subject of chapter 21. Roman numeral 8, Satan has a lust pattern. Emulated by those who are negative and follow his pattern. No matter what area they may manifest it in. Again, the example of the Pharisees of Jesus' time in John 8:44. You are your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. So Satan has desires. He has lust. He was a murderer from the beginning. That shows what kind of nature he has. See, the desires of his person. And does not stand in the truth. So he is obviously anti-life. The author of death, if you will. And he does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. So he's everything and anything that's completely opposite, that's opposite to the truth. In any form of, even in the slightest form of distortion. As we saw him use Bible doctrine, seeking to use Bible doctrine against Jesus in regards to the wilderness temptation. The scripture says that he took it and he put it in the wrong context, he ripped it out of context, and it had all wrong intents and purposes for why it was written. Hence why we study the way we study. Keeping it in context. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, as the New American Standard supplies for us, which is the right intention, the right context. For he is a liar and the father of lies. Alright, Roman numeral 9. Some concluding observations. A, all unbelievers are total slaves to the STA, and the only deliverance is faith in Christ. Titus 3:3. For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts, however it may manifest itself, and pleasure, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. Our pre-salvation state. B, once you believe, you continue to possess and will repetitively succumb to the STA in your entire life. Ecclesiastes 7:20. There is not even a righteous man who continually does good and does not sin. C, this begins the inner conflict between the indwelling Holy Spirit and indwelling STA. D, your particular weaknesses and area of sinning is not going to necessarily be the same as another person's area of sinning. A lot of it has to do with your genetic makeup, who your father and ancestors were. The operation STA is a reason prayer is unanswered. James 4:3. James chides the believers as allowing envy and spite and things like this, jealousy going on among the ranks and wondering why their prayers are not answered. You're going to approach God in a state of drunkenness and expecting to answer your prayers, being out of fellowship. F, recognizing and I'm bypassing these so we can finish this tonight. Recognizing the principles of the SCA helps one to avoid judging others. Our judgments are to be accurate, based on facts, not based on appearance. They are to be based on doctrine. You judge based on doctrine and let the judgment fall however it may, no matter who you're evaluating or critiquing in the matter. And understanding people have STAs and believers are going to fail, and not be writing them off and saying they're negative because they failed. Negative volition is pretty obvious. You can tell when that evidence is given, like when they blow out a class. But ultimately, we still don't know. Galatians 6, 1 and 2. Brothers, even if a man is caught in any trespass, sin, you are spiritual. Restore such a one in spirit of gentleness. Each one looking to yourself, lest you too be tempted. The best approach to life is keep your nose to the grindstone and out of other people's businesses. We're not here to meddle in other people's business. I don't even do that as a pastor. I teach you the doctrine. It's your priesthood. And you've got to give people room and time to figure things out. And the main concern is not let yourself get caught up in your own STA, in judging, critiquing, or doing something else erroneous in the process. Bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. So people make mistakes. We're not to use that mistake as a bat to beat him with later on. People love to do that. Drudge up old failures in life and continue to beat people over the head with it. And when they've gone, yeah, I made a mistake, they rebounded, you know, and maybe it's embarrassing to them or whatever, you know, whatever degree. We're supposed to try to help each other and not be a stumbling block to one another in this regard. The doctrine in regards to those who don't want to line up and don't want to help, obviously the doctrine is obvious. It's called separation. We should encourage each other and provide support in the battle that each one of us faces. H, we are not to follow this sin nature, but rather produce divine good. Titus 2, 11 through 15. For the grace of God has been revealed as saving grace literally to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, waiting for the blessed hope, that's the rapture, and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself a special people, zealous for good works. These things communicate and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one be contemptuous with you, as he instructs Titus in regards to exhortation of those under his charge. One, STA types will be much evident in the last days. STA is going to be like coming out of the woodworks, and obviously with technology and communication today, I mean, it has the liberty and the avenues in order to basically permeate households. J, believers under the SCA explain the born-again religious world and all their bizarre interpretations of Scripture resulting in goofy teachings and activities. K, believers in the last days will fall under the SCA deception of plurality of teachers. That's one of the big ones. These ear ticklers, as they're called, are teachers who will stroke their lust grid rather than challenging it. And again, that's why you look at churches like ours and you don't see 1,000 people sitting in some cathedral somewhere. Because people don't want to be challenged by people like me. In regards to, man, this is the truth. I either line up get your act together or go on be a spiritual idiot your whole entire life. And that's the way doctrine is. That's the way it comes out. Now, obviously, it's done in love. Didn't I sound like I loved you a lot when I said that? In 2 Timothy 4, 3, 4. And then the cosmic system with its various lusts is transitory and it's passing away. Again, 1 John 2, 15 through 17. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God the Holy Spirit that you'd like to see us sing in Jesus' name. Amen.